We're talking about the latest news on the Brian Williams controversy. Last night, Lester Holt took over hosting NBC Nightly News, role usually filled by Williams. Here's what Holt had to say about Brian Williams' absence.
We want to take just a moment to tell you where Brian is tonight. In a message to his colleagues over the weekend, Brian told us he's taking several days off this broadcast amid questions over how he recalled certain stories he covered. In a career spent covering the news, Brian told us it's clear he's become too much a part of the news while this issue is dealt with.
The story in question is about Brian Williams coming under attack in a helicopter in the Iraq invasion of 2003. Here's a clip of Williams telling that story on David Letterman in 2013.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
Paul Levinson is with us now to talk about this story. He's a professor of communications and media studies at Fordham University. He's also the author of 15 books, most of them about the media. Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
So you're watching the story. You've been quoted on it. When did this Brian Williams story first start to come into question?
Well, just really very recently. And that's what happens with these things. A lot of times people say things that aren't quite true, but nobody is paying attention. But then one fine day, someone is. And, you know, in this case, there obviously were people on the helicopter that did take fire, and they knew Brian Williams wasn't there. What's not clear is how long they were aware of what Brian Williams was saying, because we don't even know every single time that Brian Williams made this claim. We do know that shortly after the event, he told the totally truthful account of what happened, and it was only in the ensuing years that somehow this got mixed into a recollection that it was his helicopter that took fire, as you heard him saying on the David Letterman show. And it's unfortunate. One of the things I've been saying, and I think it's important for people to bear in mind, this is not a case of a reporter making up a story out of whole cloth, or a reporter or a news anchor investigating a political candidate and bringing into the investigation some questionable sources, which is what happened with Dan Rather and George W. Bush. This is essentially a personal recollection. And we're often fuzzy with our personal recollections. We often embellish them. But unfortunately, Brian Williams has a special responsibility because he is a news anchor, and that's what's created this situation for him.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of talk from psychologists about how this kind of maybe selective memory, gradual memory editing can be pretty common. We've seen politicians bounce back from this sort of thing, but this is a journalist. Reliability is kind of their stock in trade. Is this something that a prominent journalistic face can come back from?
I don't know. It's a tough situation. Every profession has certain bottom lines that the people that the professional serves have a right to expect won't be breached. So if, for example, you go see a doctor, you expect the doctor to get your diagnosis right. It may be the human thing to do to occasionally make an error, but if a doctor misdiagnoses something, or even worse, a surgeon cuts out, you know, the wrong part of the body when you're going for surgery, that's going to be it, you know, in terms of that person's career if people find out about it. And unfortunately, we do expect a higher level of truth-telling from our news anchors. But that said, I do think that given the fact that, as I just also said, Brian Williams didn't just make this up out of whole cloth. He was flying over Iraq. What will determine whether or not he'll survive is whether or not there are any other cases of this kind of misrecollecting or misreporting. So NBC is correctly looking into various other situations that Brian Williams covered, such as Hurricane Katrina. And if it turns out that this is a pattern, then I think it's a hopeless case for Brian Williams. But if it turns out that this is the only misrecollection that he had, I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that he could survive this.
Well, here's the apology that Brian Williams gave on NBC Nightly News. This is earlier this month.
I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
A lot of times when you hear an apology like that, there's a hope that that's the end of the story. This clearly was not.
Well, one of the reasons that's not is we live in an age now where anytime anything happens with a public figure, you have a plethora of tweets and all kinds of comments and photographs on social media. And so for that reason alone, it's almost impossible for a story to go away. But there's another thing as well. There was a folk singer, not well enough known as he should have been, in my view, in the 1960s by the name of Phil Oakes. And he had a wonderful song called The Crucifixion. And he was talking really about the assassination of John F. Kennedy and why people took such an interest in every single element of it. What was Jackie wearing? What was the expression on her face? And one of the points that Phil Oakes made, and it's a pretty stunning point, but when you think about it, it's true, is that the public enjoys the decline of the very icons that it builds up. And they're quick to jump on a situation where someone who they held in very high esteem does something that's wrong. It doesn't mean that the person who does something wrong should be exonerated, but it does mean that once this gets going, it begins to feed itself. I've seen, you know, all kinds of clever photographs on Twitter. Brian Williams was at the Yalta conference. Brian Williams, here he is during the Civil War talking to some Union generals, and, you know, they Photoshop his face and image into those photographs. So it has taken on a life of its own. Ironically, though, I think that if Brian Williams does come back after not too long a time, this very negative interest could result in greater and better ratings for the NBC Nightly News, because I think more people are interested now in Brian Williams than they were before.
Now, we in the media are covering the story, talking about it right now. Are we more interested in this than the public as a whole is?
No, I mean, I think that the public as a whole is very interested precisely because this is a person who talks to us, or at least millions of Americans, every night. And this is something we've known for a while. I mean, you know, it goes back actually even before television. It goes back to radio in the 1920s. The first time that you had something from the outside, a newscaster, coming right into our living rooms, right into our bedrooms, right into our kitchens, and we almost feel that these people are members of our families. You know, we listen to them in the car when we're driving. I'm sure there are people listening to this show right now in the car. And from a psychological media point of view, it's almost as if our voices are in the car, and we are in the car with those people. So because of that, anyone who has seen Brian Williams, and most Americans have, they feel they have a relationship with Brian Williams, and that's why they're so interested in this story. It's almost as if a member of the family or a friend or a colleague at work has gotten into this situation.
Is that true now, as it might have been a couple few decades ago, now that some of us might get our news from Brian Williams or his colleagues on the other networks, some of them get the news from an acquaintance on Facebook?
Well, absolutely, things have changed. You know, back in the 1970s, a Gallup poll reported that Walter Cronkite was the most trusted person in America, which even back then, I was, you know, barely more than a kid, I thought was a little strange, because after all said and done, I like Walter Cronkite, but I had no idea whether what he was saying on television was true or not. But he had that kind of very, you know, trustworthy persona. We've come a long way since then. I think even before this incident, no one in America would have said that any news anchor, including Brian Williams, was the most trusted person. And yes, we don't get our news as much from the networks as we used to. In the heyday of the networks, you're talking about 50, 60 million people watching a nightly newscast. Now, all three of them put together, maybe we'll have 15 million people, if that much. I think that's a healthy thing, though, because what has happened is that we now get our news from so many different sources that we have a better way of knowing whether something is true or not. We don't just have to rely on a handful of sources.
We're talking to media expert Paul Levinson about the Brian Williams controversy.
And we want to know what you think. Is the media blowing the story out of proportion? Have you personally lost your trust in Brian Williams or news anchors maybe in general? Do you think Brian Williams should be able to come back to the host seat at NBC Nightly News? Call it 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now about Brian Williams and whether or not he's lost the trust of the American public because of misleading statements he made about being under fire in Iraq in 2003.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you think Brian Williams should continue as the host of NBC Nightly News? Do you think he can be trusted as a journalist in the future? Do we hold news anchors to a higher standard? Should we? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Dick on the line in Mount Horeb. Hi.
Hi. Just a quick comment. You know, if you trusted Brian Williams before this episode, I think you still should. You know, I think it's unfair to criticize him for misremembering this 12 years down the road, and a lot of people that are criticizing him certainly have never even been in an experience anywhere near what he went through. I mean, if you're in a convoy of helicopters and one of them gets hit, certainly the whole convoy was under fire. So, you know, as he says, the fog of memory, I don't think he was looking for any more attention than he had already gotten. He just misremembered it. And that's my comment.
Dick, thanks a lot. Interesting perspective. Maybe, Paul, we can forgive someone for getting things wrong in what was originally probably a stressful, uncertain situation.
Yeah, look, that's why this is such a tough call. I, for example, I've never been in combat, but during the Vietnam War, I was protesting the Vietnam War, and I went to several marches on Washington, including the march on the Pentagon in 1967, and people there were tear gassed and charged by U.S. troops, and I certainly breathed in tear gas, but I wasn't charged by U.S. troops, and no one threw a tear gas canister right in front of me. But over the years, as I've told that story, I sort of say, well, hey, right in that march, you know, I was tear gassed, which is technically true, but not 100% true. But the problem, again, with Brian Williams is that he's not just another person who came under fire or didn't come under fire. He is a news anchor on one of four major networks. That, I think, does carry a higher responsibility. So I think that the scrutiny that he's now being put under is justified. Whether or not he should continue, I think if I had to make the decision, I would probably say give him a chance as long as nothing else comes up.
What's the line in journalism? If your mother tells you she loves you, ask for two corroborating sources. As a journalist in this case, before someone like Brian Williams shares an anecdote, a memory, is it journalistically responsible to double check his own memory?
Well, look, the problem is, you know, in regular situations where you're not reporting on what you recall, you do usually insist on more than one source. You know, there's another old joke about a guy at a radio station who gets a call from a drunk saying that there's a fire someplace in town, and the caller is a known drunk, and so the person at the radio station is trying to confirm it can't, and then goes on the air and says, and now we have a report from a usually unreliable source that there's a fire on 33rd Street. So it's tough. You do need to corroborate. And probably when you're dealing with your own recollections, especially in a situation like that, you especially should corroborate so that you're not played false by your very recollection.
Go to another caller now. We've got Doug on the line in Waukesha. Doug, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have heard from a couple of different sources that the Brian Williams did have a story that is suspected to be false at Katrina. Something about he drank the water, that he saw a body float past while he was staying in the French Quarter, that the water got into the hotel he was staying in the French Quarter, and people were saying, no, that we were there in the French Quarter. It was one of the highest places. This didn't happen. My question is, why weren't the people who were sent with Brian, his news crew, pulling him off to one side, saying, Brian, these stories you're telling, they're not putting you in the best light. This didn't happen that way. Why didn't he have a core group of people around him pulling it, saying...
Gotcha, Doug. Paul, I've heard that is one of the stories that NBC is now looking into to see if this is a one-off or if this is a pattern, but this is presumably a guy with people around him. Would they have some responsibility to be a check on what Brian Williams is out there saying?
Well, here it's important to distinguish between a public official, a president, a governor, even a mayor, a senator, on the one hand, and a newscaster on the other hand. People who are in public office do have people around them who are constantly checking to make sure what the politician, what the public official says is accurate and correct, because politicians also basically depend on the public trusting them. But the truth of the matter is, Brian Williams doesn't have a body man or a minder who follows him around to make sure everything he says is true. When he's actually doing his newscast, that's the result of a group of people who are very carefully preparing and vetting all the stories. And that's why, again, there's an important distinction between a news story and a recollection that someone who is a news anchor communicates to the public. And in case of the recollection, people are just not paying that kind of attention to what he says.
Now, with this NBC investigation, what should they be looking for? How much due diligence do you think they need to do at this point?
Well, at this point, the last thing that NBC wants is to do a superficial, sloppy job, and there's no reason to think that they will, in investigating Brian Williams and say, well, okay, there's nothing else that Brian Williams ever said, which was at all incorrect. Only a month later for someone else to come up and out with something that says, well, hey, Brian Williams got this thing wrong with Katrina or on some other trip or some other story he was publishing. So my guess is NBC is going to do a very, very thorough, exhaustive job, and they're going to consider all of these things. You know, the Katrina, I looked into it already to some extent. It's not impossible that Brian Williams saw that. What is the case is the hotel that he was in a part of the city where there wasn't that much flooding, but there was still some flooding. So what I'm sure NBC is doing is trying to find out, were there any bodies tragically floating in the water that Brian Williams could have seen when he was in that place at that time? And maybe there'll be other witnesses who will say, yes, there were. If there's nobody else who can corroborate that, and furthermore, there's some kind of reason to conclude that there were no bodies anywhere near where Brian Williams was when he made that report, well, that's not good news for him.
You mentioned earlier the rapport between Brian Williams summoning his position and the people who watch him maybe every single night. Just looking at internet comments for what they're worth, yes, there's been criticism, but there have been a lot of people saying, this is an honest mistake, I'm not going to watch until Brian Williams is back on the air. Do you think that there will be a lot of those people who already feel that connection and will say, hey, I'd cut a friend or family member some slack, I'll cut Brian Williams some slack?
Yes, absolutely. I think Brian Williams is a very likable newscaster. You know, he's not someone like Bill O'Reilly, where, I mean, some people love him too, but, you know, he's a very irascible personality. Brian Williams comes across as a good-natured, warm-hearted person, and I think he does have a lot of admirers and a lot of fans, and there's no doubt that they'll stay behind him. If no other negative examples arise.
Now, you have been studying the media and journalism for a good long time now, but what was your personal reaction when you heard about this story?
I was surprised because, you know, like everyone else, I assumed that everything Brian Williams said publicly was true. And I've met Brian Williams a couple of times. He was at Fordham University a few times for various events. And from what I can tell, and actually I've been following Brian Williams even when he was on MSNBC reporting the news before he became the anchor on NBC. What's clear to me about Brian Williams is if ever there was a person who loved his job and loves his job, it's Brian Williams. I mean, he really got into the role of news anchor and made that position his. So I was, you know, shocked when I heard about this and actually aggravated because I feel bad that this is happening to him. And I hope that he can get through this. I would be very happy if a week from now he's back on the air and all of this fades away.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Paul Levinson, professor of communications and media studies at Fordham University. He's the author of 15 books, most of them about the media. We've been talking about the ongoing story of NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams. Keep sharing your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page.